Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. We're entering day two of Deshaun Watson's hearing in front of the NFL. There's so many tentacles to this, Zach. Zach Gelb sitting in for Maggie Gray. It's hard. You have to keep track in real time because it seems like the NFL and the NFLPA are, I'm not going to say using the media, but leaking information in the media, almost as if the NFL's constantly floating trial balloons about what this suspension might ultimately end up being.
Yeah, I think the NFL wants him to get a year suspension, but then you read other things that they don't want to go through an appeal process, but then they'd be okay with 6 to 8 games. I think he's going to end up getting suspended for a year, but who knows, right? In these investigations and these situations with the NFL in the last 10 to 15 years, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, well, fortunately, I know the right person to ask, a former colleague at Sports Illustrated of both Maggie and I, and now a reporter for the New York Times who's done unbelievable work on the Deshaun Watson story from the start, Jenny Vrentis. Jenny, how you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on. How are you guys doing?
We're great. We're wondering, we're in 2 days now to the hearing in front of the NFL. Has anything given you any indication of how long this will last?
No, I don't know the specifics. It's a situation where we're all trying to get as much as we can, but one of the complicating factors is that this is a new process. This is the first case to go through a personal conduct policy disciplinary hearing under the new CBA. So for the first time, there's this jointly appointed disciplinary officer, Sue Robinson, a former federal judge. And so she's hearing evidence yesterday and today. I don't know exactly how long this could run. I don't even know if the people involved necessarily know, because it depends on what questions she asks, what information she wants to hear. Obviously, both sides have a case that they want to make to her, and she's read evidence and briefings before the hearing. So it's not like the hearing is the first time that she's ever encountering this information. Will the discipline, her decision, come right after the hearing? They also have an option in the CBA. You know, you can file briefings afterward if both sides agree and the judge wants that. So there's just a lot up in the air. And because it's a new process, I don't have as great of a feel of exactly how this part is going to go.
Jenny, I've read so many things about what the NFL wants, a year, an indefinite suspension. Then I read something yesterday from Rob Motti that if they came back with 6 to 8 games, they wouldn't appeal that. Is the NFL's stance still that they would prefer Deshaun Watson to be suspended at least a year?
Yeah, so going into the hearing, both sides had to provide briefing materials for Sue Robinson, for the disciplinary officer. And the NFL in that provided a recommendation. So that's where this indefinite suspension, not able to apply for reinstatement until after a full season, that's where that comes from. So going into the hearing, that's the information they provided. There's certainly nothing to indicate that they have strayed from that stance in any way. Now, I don't know exactly what's going on in the hearing. Again, you know, it's a closed process, so we're all kind of just guessing and waiting for information on how this goes. But that is what the NFL was seeking, and I imagine that their presentation is designed to support that recommendation that they have made.
We're talking to New York Times sports reporter Jenny Vrentis. Jenny, your story made a lot of news that Deshaun Watson saw 66 different masseuses in a 17-month period, which leads me to the question about the open-endedness of this entire situation. The NFL is asking for an indefinite suspension. Doesn't the NFL have to worry that more cases could come up? And if they give, say, a year, does a finite nature of that kind of suspension cause a problem for the NFL possibly?
Yeah, and I think that's exactly why the indefinite suspension would be appealing for the NFL, because it would allow them to adjust or account if additional information comes out. Because there's a lot of different things that could happen here. I mean, there's still four active civil suits. There's a new civil suit against the Texans. It's from one of the women who has one of the four civil suits against Watson pending, but she filed a new suit against the Texans. And, you know, as you mentioned, the number of people he contacted and worked with over the span of time before the first lawsuit was filed is very high. I mean, 66 was a number that I was able to confirm, and I wrote it as at least 66 because I don't believe that that is the full extent. Those are just the ones that I was able to verify. So if you look at that period of time and the number of people that he worked with, sure, it is possible that somebody else comes forward, whether it's a lawsuit or another police report or just a public account. I mean, you can't close the door on that. So I think that is why the NFL would like the indefinite ban, and then, you know, he would be able to apply for reinstatement at some point. And then when that process happens, you could take into account any new information that comes up.
Jenny, how seriously should fans take this lawsuit against the Houston Texans? You said one suit has been filed against them. Could you explain also their role in the allegations against them in this whole story?
Yeah, so a lot of what's in the suit was what was reported in our article a couple weeks ago about the Texans' role in whether knowingly or not enabling some of the conduct that Watson is alleged to have engaged in. And I think there's two main things. One is that the team provided him with access to one of the venues that he set up massages at. It's an upscale hotel and club called the Houstonian. So that was one way in which team resources sort of opened the door for him to set up these appointments. Again, not saying that the team knew exactly what he was doing at the Houstonian, but that's one use of team resources. I think more directly is that in November of 2020, there was a woman who would later sue Watson who posted about him on Instagram. She posted some text message exchanges, his Cash App name in Cash App receipts, as well as his phone number to establish that she was showing messages from him. She also wrote, "I could really expose you." And so when Watson told the team security, the head of security for the Texans, that person got those posts taken down and also gave Watson a non-disclosure agreement that he said he used with massage therapists. And in fact, only used with massage therapists, because he said for any other business, he had lawyers and agents to handle that. So I think when we talk about the story, I do think one part of it is some of the structures and systems that can enable conduct to occur. And certainly in this case,
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Texans, again, whether knowingly or not, did provide him with access to resources that allowed some of these behaviors alleged behaviors to persist.
Jenny Verentes, when we get into optics, we look at the NFL throughout the years. Sometimes they care about optics. Sometimes they sweep a lot of things underneath the a rug. When you look at what happened with Trevor Bauer, Major League Baseball ended up suspending him for 324 games. That's two full seasons. He wasn't criminally charged. Does optics about what occurred in another sport maybe factors into here what the NFL is going to try to pursue with Deshaun Watson?
You know, I think it certainly could. I think what's so unusual about this situation, though, is there really isn't anything that compares. There's not really any precedent. And I think that's what's been hard when discussing what the appropriate discipline could be. The breadth and scope of the allegations is really unlike anything we've ever seen. You know, 25 lawsuits. One was pulled back for privacy and security reasons, but that's 25 women who made claims to civil lawsuits, two additional criminal complainants, and I've also reported on other women who said he engaged in misconduct to them who didn't file suits or go to the police. So, you know, close to 30 women have said in some capacity that he acted inappropriately toward them in an appointment that they believed was a professional massage appointment. So it's a large number of allegations. I know the NFL's presentation is focusing on five. And again, they have to go with the evidence they've collected and the people that they've been able to speak with. But there really isn't a precedent. However, the personal conduct policy does make clear that, you know, criminal charges are not necessary for there to be punishment. It's about holding the people who represent the NFL to a higher standard. And so certainly, as they make this recommendation for an indefinite suspension lasting at least a year, I mean, that's certainly part of their reasoning, I would imagine, to for such a significant ban.
We're talking to New York Times' Jenny Verentes. Jenny, this is just anecdotal, but I've talked to a lot of people in media who feel anything less than a year would be embarrassing for the NFL. And there's also the Calvin Ridley issue, the Atlanta Falcons receiver who was suspended for an entire year for making sort of small bets on the NFL. Now, I know you've done so much work on this story. I'm not going to ask you to say what you think the suspension would be, but I think Zach and I both feel anything under a year in the NFL would really be in a PR nightmare. I think fans and the media certainly expects more.
Yeah, you know, I think it's an interesting question always when there is alleged misconduct, particularly domestic violence or sexual violence. It's always really uncomfortable to talk about what number of games is appropriate. But, you know, there are ongoing civil suits. There were no criminal charges brought. But, you know, even the district attorney in Harris County sort of pointed to the other parts of the process, saying just because criminal charges weren't brought doesn't mean that a person is not guilty. And she pointed specifically to both the civil process and the NFL disciplinary process. So, you know, I do think it is an important, an important part of holding players accountable for alleged actions that, you know, even if there aren't criminal charges brought or we're going to see the outcome of the remaining civil suits, you know, I do think the NFL disciplinary process can have an impact in terms of players don't like to miss time. They don't like to miss salary. It can have, the kind of effect of deterring, misconduct if it's applied appropriately. I mean, of course, Watson's team is pushing to minimize that, and he has rights under the collective bargaining agreement to do so, but I think it's always difficult to sort of talk about these allegations in the terms of the number of games missed. But I do think just as important is the NFL showing that it's taking these accounts seriously, and that, you know, women who come forward or anybody who comes forward makes an allegation that is backed up by, evidence, as many of these accounts are, that those are taken seriously and what they have to say is listened to and is valued.
Jenny, thank you for your insight. And on a side note, so proud of you for going from SI to New York Times. I know we worked together several times at Sports Illustrated. I saw you in many locker rooms and really excited for you. And I'd like, you know, Maggie and I are probably going to need help with this story going forward because I don't think it's anywhere near done.
I think there's a lot more to come as well. But thank you for having me on. So excited for your new show. And we'd love to talk again.
Great. Thanks, Jenny. Wow, so interesting, Zach.
Here's my biggest takeaway from this, and I'm with you. I think it's going to be at least a year, but who knows with the NFL.
Right.
If it is indefinite, when do they figure out that they could trust Deshaun Watson to allow him back on a football field?
That's the
reinstatement part that, to me, is going to be fascinating if it's an indefinite suspension.
Also, with indefinite, the story is hanging out there, and the NFL's nightmare with the story continues. So,
if you're a Browns fan, you want a number. That's what you want. If you get indefinite, who knows when he's going
to
play?
That's a lot of pressure on the NFL to figure it out. So I kind of think the NFL wants a finite number. So we're going to switch gears next segment to basketball. It's been kind of a bad week, couple weeks for Kevin Durant. But wait till you hear what Draymond Green said, because I think it's going to get worse. And we might mention Kyrie Irving. We've gone an hour without mentioning Kyrie Irving, which hasn't happened much.
Yeah,
it
was at plus 4,200.
Yeah. But up next, we'll talk a little KD and Draymond Green right here on the Maggie and Perloff Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.